Turn to Proverbs 8:27. Proverbs 8:27. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. And then the sentence continues. Maybe I'll just read the rest of the sentence. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. And my delights were with the sons of men. So, there in verse 27, I don't know if you noticed or not. I noticed because, you know, when I'm going through here, I'm basically going through it with a fine-tooth comb when you normally wouldn't when you're reading it. But there's a shift here. There's a change from the previous verses until now. Anybody see what it is? You notice a difference?
It went from I to he.
Nope.
I was thinking this is... I was there, he hadn't done this yet, he hasn't done this yet, but now when he prepared the heavens, so now mm-hmm. he's doing stuff.
Yes, yep. So up until this point, she's talking about how she was with him before he did all these things, before he created. Now she shifts to talk about how she was there when he was doing it. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. Of course, wisdom speaking here. So God possessed wisdom before he created the earth. We saw that in verses 22 and 23. Before he created the oceans, pardon me, verse 24. Before he created the mountains and the hills, 25. And before he created the fields, verse 26. God created all those things by wisdom, as we've seen before, as it says in Proverbs 3:19. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. So therefore he had to possess wisdom prior to creating, as I've said numerous times already in this series. Now, wisdom switches from talking about God's possession of her prior to the creation to describing her accompanying him during the creation. She says that she was there when God prepared the heavens, there in verse 27 that we're looking at. To prepare means to put before into a suitable condition for some action, to set in order previously for some purpose, to get ready, make ready, put in readiness, to fit out, equip. It also means, I'm going to jump down here to number 7, and this definition is cited in the Coverdale Bible in Psalm something or other. I have to figure out the Roman numerals, but anyway, Psalm something or other.
94?
No, I think it's, let's see, C's 50, so it'd be 46.5, I think. Is C 50 or 100? No, L is 50.
C is
94.
Oh, C is 100.
Yeah.
So 94. 94. 94.5. Where it says, the sea is his, for he made it, and his hands, spelled Hans in those days, prepared the dry land, or land, as we would call it. So anyway, the point is, I'm using number 7 here because the Bible uses it in this sense. It means to make, this is prepare. Prepare means to make, produce, or form for some purpose. In modern use, especially to make by regular process. To manufacture, to make, or compound a chemical product, a medicinal or other preparation, etc. So to prepare, after all that, means to make or produce. You probably had already figured that out. Well, you know, I like to beat the dead horse once in a while and prove all things. So not only did God use wisdom when planning to create the universe, he also used it while he was creating it, as we see when you go on to verses 28 and 29, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth. So at all these times, wisdom was right there with him and by him. Now, a practical lesson we can learn from this. It's necessary to use wisdom while both making and executing our plans. Just a practical lesson, right? So if you used wisdom only to make your plans, it's going to end in disaster, right? Because if you don't use wisdom, let me say that again. I got ahead of myself. if you don't use wisdom in making plans, it will end in disaster, no matter how meticulously you carry out your stupidly laid plans. Mm-hmm. Right? If you don't think about your plans and you're in your planning phase and you just come up with some plans that you didn't use any foresight with, you didn't use any good wisdom, and you get all your plans written out, and then you follow that thing to a T, it's still going to turn out disastrously, right? If you make dumb plans, you're going to end up with something dumb, right? And likewise, not using wisdom in executing plans will also end in disaster, no matter how wisely the plans were made. So you could spend all kinds of time planning and get the best plans possible, and then not have enough wisdom to follow the plans and just want to cut corners and oh, I don't probably need to do that step. And it's still going to turn out in disaster, right? So you have to use wisdom in making plans and in following plans. And how many people, a lot of men, don't like to read the directions and putting stuff together? And I don't either. I usually, it just depends on the thing. A lot of times I just kind of figure it out. And if I can't figure it out, then I go to the directions. But sometimes that can come to back to bite you. Sometimes it just makes sense to follow the directions because somebody put some wisdom into those plans. And if you're smart, you will follow the plans.
Or the manufacturer's manual or something.
But you don't need to do it for everything. When you get a microwave oven or something, you don't need to get out the manufacturer's. Well, that would be a good one, yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't want to blow yourself up. So after describing how God possessed wisdom before he created the earth, the oceans, mountains, hills, fields, then wisdom goes back to the very beginning of the creation and describes how she was there with God as he created. Because she says, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. Well, the preparation of the heaven, singular, was the first act of creation. You remember Genesis 1:1. In the beginning was, I was thinking John 1:1.
Yeah.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. There you go. That's always funny. You remember this verse and you quote the wrong one. Right? You may remember it, but I didn't. Anyway, in the beginning, God created the heaven, singular. Now, these new Bibles say heavens, but the real Bible says heaven. God didn't create the heavens on the first day. God created the heaven. He created the heavens later when he divided them out. Heaven is the expanse in which the sun, moon, and stars are seen, which has the appearance of a vast vault or canopy overarching the earth. On the face or surface of which the clouds seem to lie or float, the sky, the firmament. So there are two heavens in the universe. There's outer space, and then there's the sky slash the atmosphere. Both of those things are called heaven, and they are different. And then there's a third heaven, which is outside of the universe, where God dwells. So let's go to the third heaven first of all.
So which one did he create first? The universe, I'm assuming.
Yes.
That's the heaven.
The heaven, yeah.
Thank you.
2 Corinthians 12, verses 2 through 4. I said let's go to the third heaven, meaning in the Bible, but I'd like to go there for real, like now. 2 Corinthians 12, 2 through 4. Paul says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Notice how he says the man was caught up to the third heaven, and then he says the man was caught up to paradise. So put two things together. The third heaven is paradise. What did Jesus say to the thief on the cross? Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Jesus went to heaven that day. Paradise is heaven. The third heaven is the heaven where God dwells. Now, people also talk about the seventh heaven. The seventh heaven is not in the Bible either. There's a lot of stuff that people talk about that's not in the Bible. There are three heavens. And Paul is most likely talking about himself in that passage, in case you were wondering, when he says he knew a man in Christ.
He was talking about himself?
I think so, yeah, because he goes on to say that the Lord gave him the thorn in the flesh because of the abundance of the revelations that he got. So he's talking about himself. He just doesn't know if he was there in body or spirit. He just couldn't tell. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Confusing.
Yeah, he didn't. He had a vision of heaven, and he couldn't. Apparently, it was probably so real that he didn't know if he was actually there or.
Really,
yeah, or it was just in spirit. So, yeah. Okay, so back to these other heavens then. So you have outer space, like the universe, that was created on the first day, and the earth was created on that same day and placed in it, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. I still have that John 1:1 in my head. So outer space is the second heaven, where the sun, moon, and stars are or were placed on the fourth day of creation. Genesis 1:14-19. So the heaven, outer space, the universe was created on the first day, but it wasn't populated until the fourth day. It was basically just a bunch of empty space out there, right, when God initially created it. He had the earth and the heaven, a whole bunch of empty space, however big the universe is, with nothing in it. Nothing in it but maybe the ether or whatever. I mean, there's something out there, but it's pretty much nothing as far as you can tell when you're just looking at it with your two eyes. But then he put the sun, the moon, and the stars, and also the planets in it. The Bible does talk about planets as well, actually. Genesis 1:14-19. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven, to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven, to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day. Who knows what that one was? The sun, yes. And the lesser light to rule the night. And that was the moon. He made the stars also. Think about, there's a clause, five words long. He made the stars also, which details trillions of stars and galaxies and just, I mean, something that we have not even been able to find the end of with the Hubble telescope, and the Bible says it in five words. He made the stars also.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah. And then something. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. There was light before the sun was created, because he created light there on the first day. He called the light day, and the darkness he called night. I assume that God was the light, because the in the New Jerusalem it says it has no need of the sun, because the Lord God giveth it light. Then God created the sun and the stars and the moon. It says he put them in the open firmament, or in the firmament of heaven. And firmament is just an expanse. So in this case, it was the expanse of outer space, the universe. And then the first heaven, so we've gone from the third heaven where God dwells, second heaven is outer space. First heaven is the sky and the atmosphere, and it was created on the second day of creation. And it's where the birds fly, which were created on the fifth day. Genesis 1:6-8. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. I'll talk about this in a minute, but the waters below the firmament are the oceans that God created. The waters above are the clouds when he divided them. So he's got you got water above, water below, and you have this space in between. The atmosphere, in other words. And then that was on the second day. And the Lord called the firmament heaven. See, the flat earthers think the firmament's some hard dome or something. It tells you what the firmament is right in that verse. The firmament is called heaven. Right? Heaven. The atmosphere. The space where the birds fly. That's the firmament. It's not some hard dome. Then you go to verse 20. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, the fowl and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." The fowls are flying in the firmament. If it's some hard dome, it's pretty hard for a bird to fly in a hard dome, like glass or whatever it's made out of. Birds don't fly very well in glass, do they?
Do they get that from the word firm?
I think so. Yeah. Which, you know, if you start defining words like that, you come up with all kinds of stuff. Like, to be retarded is to be tarded again or something, or, you know. Or,
firm amendment. Yeah. Kind of like porcupine.
Yeah. So there's two firmaments there. There's the firmament where the birds fly, there's the heaven where the birds fly, and then there's the heaven where the sun, moon, and stars are. So you got first heaven, second heaven, and then third heaven where God dwells. So therefore, the heavens, outer space, and the sky and the atmosphere were prepared in the beginning of the creation during the first 2 days, during which wisdom was there with God, being used by him to create. Now this is really interesting. The next part of the verse, when he set a compass upon the face of the depth. Now, what is that talking about? So when God sent a compass upon the face of the depth, wisdom was by him. And you have to keep reading here in Proverbs chapter 8, which I did when I introduced this verse or the previous one. When you go down, so it says there in verse 27, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, then to finish the sentence, you'd have to go down to number verse 30. Then was I by him as one brought up with him. So when he set a compass upon the face of the depth, then was I by him. So he was, wisdom was there when God put a compass upon the face of the depth. Now the face of the depth, or the face of the deep, are the oceans which cover the entire earth, and they were created on the first day. And you read about that in Genesis 1 and verse 2. This same, almost same phrase, face of the deep, is used here. Genesis 1, 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So she says there in our verse that when he set a compass upon the face of the deep. So, you know what we're talking about here. The oceans, right? The earth that was covered in water. God set a compass upon the face of the deep. Now you're probably wondering, what does that mean? And how would he set a compass on it? What are we talking about here? I'll show you in just a second. She said upon the face of the depth. I think that's how she said it in Proverbs 8, right? Mm-hmm. So face of the depth, face of the deep is the same thing. Mm-hmm. A depth is something that is deep. A deep water, a deep part of the sea, or of any body of water, usually in the plural, so the depths. And it's only poetic and rhetorical. It means the great abyss of waters, the deep. So God set a compass upon the face of the depth, or the face of the deep. Now a compass, going back to your geometry days when you were in school, if you remember that, a compass is the mathematical instrument. When we're referring to the mathematical instrument, here's what it means. It means an instrument for taking measurements or describing circles. Describing means to actually make a circle. That we use the word describe to explain something, when describe in this context means to make a circle. An instrument for making measurements and describing circles, consisting in its simplest form of two straight and equal legs connected at one end by a movable joint. So you remember what a compass is, right? You know, you got the two legs that are connected, and you can, and one of them has a pencil on them, one of them has a point, and you can spin the thing around and make a circle. Yep. Now, that was the third Roman numeral definition when you're talking about the instrument. Now, when you go down, the fourth Roman numeral describes what the instrument makes. When you're talking about circumference, circle, curve, or bound, compass means a circumference, a circle. Anything circular in shape, example, the globe, the horizon, also a circlet or a ring. So a compass refers to a circle or anything circular like a globe. Okay, when he said a compass upon the face of the deep. So the setting of a compass upon the face of the deep is said in the context of establishing the clouds above the fountains of the deep. Let's look at verse 28, Proverbs 8:28. So here, when he set a compass upon the face of the deep, it is said in the context of making the clouds above, making the fountains of the deep. Proverbs 8:28, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep. Now, I'm going to show you that setting a compass upon the face of the deep is how he established the clouds above. I'll show you in just a second.
So did the... Because when you said compass, I was thinking of the thing that shows you the directions of the magnetic poles. Did that definition come later?
I don't know. Yeah, that's a different word. Yeah.
I mean, because when that's what I was thinking of.
I think that kind of compass has one S, doesn't it?
I think it's spelled the same. I don't know. I'd have to look it up. Yeah, it's a different. That'd be a different definition.
Well, I knew it. But, it's obviously a different definition. But when you said compass, I wasn't thinking about.
Oh yeah.
What we used in math, I was thinking about that. So I was wondering if that definition of a compass came later than this one.
I assume so. I'd have to look, but I would think. I don't even know when compasses were invented. That'd be a good question. I don't know. Okay, so in other words, God made a compass, a circumference, a bound, a globe, in other words, because that's a globe is a compass, around the water-covered earth. So the Lord makes a globe around the water-covered earth. So you've got the earth here, and then you've got a globe, a ball, around the earth.
Which compasses it.
Which compasses it. Right, because that's what compass means. That's another, you know, that's part of it. Compass means to surround. So a globe would surround the inner ball. So you've got a ball, and then you've got a globe surrounding the ball. That's when he set a compass upon the earth. He set a globe around the earth. This compass was the firmament, the second heaven, the sky, the atmosphere, which divided the waters above it, the clouds, from the waters below it, the oceans. And we already read those verses in Genesis 1, 6 through 8, and verse 20. This is why he's saying it in context of verse 28, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep. That's when he set the compass. When he made this globe around the earth, this globe of atmosphere, that's when he established the clouds above, because the clouds above are above the atmosphere. So are you getting it?
Run that by again, because I was looking back at something, sorry.
So you got the earth surrounded with water. You got this, you know, dirt ball with water on it. Yeah. And then God makes a compass. He makes a globe of atmosphere around it, and that's when he establishes the clouds above, because he makes the firmament, and he separates the waters below the firmament from the waters above the firmament. That's what it means when he sets a compass upon the earth, upon the face of the waters. So God is a mathematician and an architect, not to be confused with the Masonic great architect of the universe. So I'm always careful when I talk about God being an architect. I don't ever want to be misunderstood to think I'm some kind of a closet mason, which I have been accused of in the past. It is true, God is a great architect of the universe, but God is not the, quote, great architect of the universe, if you get what I'm saying. That's what the Masons call their God. God used his wisdom to design the earth, the atmosphere, the clouds, the oceans, and the water cycle. And it would have taken a lot of wisdom, obviously, to figure all that out. To make an atmosphere, to make the clouds, you know, divide the waters from the waters. We'll talk about the clouds here in the next verse. So we got one more verse. This one won't take too long. So that's it for Proverbs 8:27. Just a quick note at the end of the sermon. The most important thing a believer in Jesus Christ can do is to be a member of one of God's true churches. If you're not already a member of one, go to pastorwagner.com/churches to see if there is a true church or other believers of like faith near you. That's pastorwagner.com/churches.